Last fall, shortly before starting on this podcast, I was doing some research on my great-grandmother, Elizabeth Baxter Anderson. You might remember her from my first pre-episode. It was a trailer. I talked about her and coming over to Canada and representing her age a little differently than it would be, so to save some money. So anyways, in doing my research, I had sort of exhausted a lot of the usual resources I use, so I turned to Google. I was hoping to possibly find some community newspaper articles preserved and archived somewhere. My real hope was maybe I would find a photo or two that I hadn't seen somewhere on the internet, that somebody had saved, some family member had. What I found was even more of a gift. So I plunked her name, Elizabeth Anderson, and then I plunked the community, Donkin, Nova Scotia, into Google. And aside from my own entries on various family tree sites, I found this listing on the Beaton Institute, which is associated with the University College of Cape Breton, or now it's called Cape Breton University. And it was under a section it had on coal mines and mining. And it read, simply, T-3870, Miners Interviews, Tape 6, circa 1977, part of the John DeRoche Collection. Item is a sound recording, side 1. 1. Mr. Herb Pike, June 14th, 1977, second tape. Number 2. Mrs. Elizabeth Anderson, June 8th, 1977. Side 2, number 1, Elizabeth Anderson, continued from side 1. And then side 2, Mrs. Isaac Batten, interviewed by K. Rutterham, July 5th, 1977. And number 3, Mrs. Clara Thompson, interviewed by Ben McLean, continues on tape 7, Beaton T-3871. So, up there on the side 1, item 2, was Mrs. Elizabeth Anderson, June 8th, 1977. Now, I had really high hopes that this was my great-grandmother. So I searched to see if they had it digitized, because they said it was part of their digital archives, but it wasn't actually digitized. But I was really amazed when I reached out to the people, the Beaton Institute, how helpful their archivers were with this. It was actually, I made a request and I explained what I was doing, and it was a matter of just a few weeks. They contacted me. Actually, they contacted me right away and let me know that they were going to be doing this and for me. And then a few weeks later, they contacted me again with a download link so I could actually listen to the digital files. I was pretty excited. So I'd waited, several weeks in anticipation after they originally told me they were going to do this. And I got that, the two files. They were two files, one for each side of the tape, so I put in side A, and I listened through the first section, and then suddenly, just over an hour in, on side A, on side one, I heard,
"It's Mrs. Elizabeth Anderson in Donkin, and it was recorded on June the 8th, 1977.
At that point, I knew I was surely going to hear the voice of my sweet old Granny Anderson, which I hadn't heard since I was 6, over 44 years ago.
Thank you. Welcome to How We Got Here, a genealogy podcast hosted by Brian Nash, exploring the tools, tips, and resources for genealogists from Atlantic Canada and family historians from around the globe who are researching their ancestors from Atlantic Canada. Every family has a story, so stick around as Brian and his guests share the unique family stories that help shape the history and culture of Atlantic Canada.
I don't know how many times I listened to this recording just to hear her Lowland accented cadence as she spoke about her family and her life. And her life in general of the community as a wife of a miner in Cape Breton in the early to mid 20th century. Now, while not getting any information that would lead to any new discoveries for my family tree of relatives or those type of facts, I learned a lot to tell me about her family, which is my family, that I never knew. And I want to share a few of those with you today. One thing I did learn, that only 2 years from death, while she had a sharp mind, there were a few times when what she said didn't match the records I knew to be true. For instance, right at the beginning, when she was asked about her family and coming to Canada, she said,
"Okay, Mrs. Anderson, we were talking before about your children and your family and how you come over from Scotland and
yeah.
a girl. And first you said you went to number 11 where your father worked in the mine?
Yes.
Yeah. And that, I guess that was, what year was that? You were 12 and a half.
1903.
So, while she did get her age right, she was approximately 12 and a half when she came to Canada. The year she did have wrong, and I know this for a fact, but this is something that's really important, especially when you're interviewing older people to realize that sometimes dates might get mixed up a little. So trust the records as well. Even though they were first-hand witnesses, depending on their age. And in this case, it was a mistake. I know she came over in 1905 for several reasons. On the 1911 and 1921 census, that's the immigration date or after her and her family. On the passenger list, which I was able to find, which led me to my my story about her family lying about her age, was from April 1905. I know, or at least I'm pretty sure, as I stated from that, if you go back and listen to my podcast trailer about her sinister secret, that she was born in 1992. In December of 1992. So in April of 1905, she would have been approximately 12 and a half, like she said, but it was not 1903. There was one other time, and I don't even know if it wasn't even that she was slipping, as far as memory, but it was just in the context. The interview was talking about World War One, and she said, "Oh, I had a son that was in the war." She was speaking of my grandfather, because it's my son Andy, and he was in World War Two. He wasn't even born during World War One, and I think the interviewer sort of sensed that she got mixed up about the war that she was talking through, because she sort of didn't pursue that. But that is something that's really important to remember when we're talking with older people, when we're getting their information. It still sometimes needs to be verified. But I did learn a lot of wonderful, interesting things, specifically about the family, and like I said, about the community. One of the things that I found quite fascinating was that my great-grandfather owned the first radio in the community of Donkin. And she talks a little bit about that. I'm just going to share that with you now. This is actually interesting because once she talks, it did lead me to a little bit of research to find out a little bit more.
Do you remember when you got your first radio here?
Yes, yeah. Yes, I do. It was a peanut tube set.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
No.
We were in three different little square boxes.
Yeah.
And it was a wee little peanut tube, just like a finger.
Oh, I see, yeah.
And they were as expensive too. And my husband was right taken up with it, you know. And he had it on so much often that he burnt out the tubes.
Oh.
And I've seen him walking from Donkin to Glasgow to get a tube for that.
Yeah. Do you remember when you got that radio? Was it when you were first married, or when? Oh no, it was later than that. I guess.
It was quite a while
after. After the 25 strike.
No, I believe it was just about then.
Just about then.
I just don't know the time, but it was just time.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I guess the whole family used to sit evenings listening.
Yes, they had their beer.
Oh yeah.
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 And the kids would document here and they'd sit around the, you know, the hall there.
Yeah.
And all around here. And no washing or bridge there, and you'd see all the kids sitting waiting their turn to get the earphones.
Yeah,
we had the first radio in Donkin.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I guess the neighbors used to want to listen too.
Oh my, yes. Yeah. The house was always full.
Yeah.
And all the kids loved to come.
Yeah. When did you get a radio that you didn't have to have headphones for? I guess later on?
Not too long after that.
Yeah. That must have been something, the first radio in Donkin.
It was.
And what kind of shows did you get on the radio then? Do you remember any of them?
Well, on the radio, Set Parker.
You get stories and music.
Set Parker used to come on the Sunday night. It was hymns they used to sing.
Oh, yeah?
It was nice.
Okay.
So, a couple of things. Like I said, one of the things it did was actually started me on a deep dive about peanut tube radios. I had never heard of them before. I'm not going to get into too much, but it was really something interesting to learn about. One of the other things I really found funny was that years ago, it was before I moved to Prince Edward Island, so I want to say 16 to 20 years ago, I found this in a used bookstore, a Seth Parker hymnal. And I was always amused. It was actually friends of mine, I think, had it. And so I'd seen a copy one time at a used bookstore. So I wanted to purchase it. I find it quite humorous because it was apparently a fictional story about this the Seth Parker and his church experience and his friends. And it was... It was a, from what I understand, like a sketch show with music that was centered around singing hymns. So I found it really interesting that my great-grandmother mentioned that. It's one of those things that sort of brings something I knew about or had seen to sort of life. So I found that really interesting. A lot of this tape, because it is talking about mining, goes and it talks about her family and what was going on with the mining in the community. And I don't really want to delve into that just because I'd probably have to post the whole recording here. So I just trying to concentrate on a few things. But I did learn a few things that were interesting in regards to mining. I learned that her brother Robert, or as she called him, Bobby, was a mining union leader, which is really interesting, because it's something I wasn't aware of. I knew that on my grandfather's father's side that his family had been really really important in the initiation of the mining industry in Cape Breton. In fact, the first Anderson ancestor that I can trace came over to manage a mine in Port Morgan originally. It's what he came here for. But I wasn't involved. I wasn't aware of, on my great grandmother's side, the unionist organization side, and she tells a few interesting stories about a few people that were involved in that period that she got to meet, which is interesting, but not my understanding necessarily of her and what was going on, though it does give context to her life. There was a little section that she talked about a little bit before this radio section I wanted to do, just because she mentioned it near the end of there about her husband, my great-grandfather, having that radio set and having to go to Glace Bay. So I don't know if you are familiar with, as a listener, with the Glace Bay and Donkin, where they are. They're a distance away. It's not something I would want to walk personally. There is like a sandbar, like she mentioned, that you could walk from Donkin into in there. I can't quite picture it now, but sort of being there, understanding the geography, I get it, what she was talking about and what she talks about, but I found it really interesting. So I'm just going to play a little section, a very short piece on when she explains about going to Glace Bay and sort of when and why.
When did the railroad come in? Do you remember that?
The railroad.
Was it always here?
It was always here. You see, they had to take the coal in and out of Donkin.
Yeah.
And the railroad was there. And then they used to have a train run Saturday evenings and Wednesday evenings. They went to Glace Bay to do the shopping.
Oh, I see.
It's good, though.
Yeah. And the men, they rode on the hobo, is that what they called
yes,
it?
Yes, my husband used to. Yeah. And Jimmy.
Yeah.
And Pesser. And no, Roddy never went in the hobo. He wasn't working there.
Yeah. Was there any other kind of transportation? I guess you just had to depend on the railway.
Oh, that's all.
To go to Glace Bay and do shopping.
Walk across.
Yes, yeah. This is young people left town if they wanted to
walk. Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes, they used to walk, think nothing of it.
Yeah.
Walk across the sandbar.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was wonderful.
Yeah.
Good for them to walk. Yeah. Better than sitting in cars, eh?
Yeah, yeah, it's true.
So if you're one of those people that's sitting in a car right now listening to it and you want to hear more content like this, and you want to become involved more in the podcast, join our Patreon group at www.patreon.com/howwegotherepod. And remember to check out our website, www.howwegotherepod.ca, where you can find links to all our social media. Now, part of the reason for sharing this with you today was I did want to talk about the great resource, even just that Google is. As you can see, of some of the things you've heard already, this was just from a simple Google search, not from a family history site or a genealogy site, just from good old Google. A lot of things can be found there. One of the things I did wind up finding later was some of the pictures I had hoped to. I actually, on Facebook, I joined a group for the community of Donkin, which I'm really grateful for, as I've been able to connect with some family and relatives and just people from the community, as well as that I am involved now in a, and I started on WikiTree, one place study for the community of Donkin. So it's really quite exciting, and I'm really glad to make that this connection. But there's some things that I just sort of want to go on about my Granny Anderson here. There was so much in this. It was over 1 hour of recording, and I've only shared really a small bit of it so far. I'm hoping to share some more in the future. But because we're talking about family history and family, I sort of wanted to, and community, I wanted to leave with her words that were in this recording that it's from the beginning section, but she's talking about her home in Donkin and her family there. So I just wanted to share that with you now.
Yeah, you really get attached to a house, don't you?
You do. I just don't want to. And that's all I wish.
Yeah.
That I could live till I would pass away in this house. Yeah. That's all I want.
It's home.
It's home.
Yeah. Like I said at the beginning, it was just about a year and a half later that she did pass away in her home. It's actually a memory I have as a child. My family was living in Ottawa at the time. I was 9 years old. I actually remember it was in November, but it was actually quite a nice November day or fall day. The cold weather hadn't really started to hit us, and I remember actually I was playing outside my backyard. There was a little spot beside the back of the house, sort of dirt, and I was playing with my little dinky cars, and I remembered very well my mom coming and telling me of Granny Anderson's death. At this point, I hadn't seen her. We had moved to Ontario in 1976 to Borden, and I hadn't seen her since the early summer of 1976, so about 3 years, 3 years prior. So this recording actually sort of right in between that stage of my last listening to her and when she passed away, sort of right in the middle. But as a 9 year old, I had fond memories of her as a child when I was younger, and this was the first real death of somebody in my family that I knew and I had to deal with. And it was distant, and I really didn't quite understand it. I know that it made my mom sad. I knew that it made her father, my grandfather, who were affectionately called Da, whose nickname was Gumps, it made him quite sad. He was close to his parents, his mother and his brothers and sisters. So it was the first death, but it was so distant, and that it was, and I was kind of disconnected. It was not a normal necessarily first experience with death, but maybe it is for a lot of people. I know it's funny, I mentioned a minute ago about the Facebook group from Donkin, and I had posted some things about my Granny Anderson, and so many of the comments talked about her shortbread and her shortbread recipe, and that's one of the things that I remember. And there's so many other things, so many things that I've gotten to from listening to the this audio recording of her, that I see her things she talks about that I like she talks about one point in it. She points out the pot that she's had since she first got married for baking beans, and I love baked beans. In fact, her son, my grandfather, he used to make the best baked beans. He would, they were just wonderful. My grandmother used to make her mother-in-law, Granny Anderson's biscuit recipe, and shortbreads. These are just things. Her shortbread is something I remember too. She talked about cleaning off her coal stove. I remember that big old coal stove. Every time I went to visit her, she was still using it into the 70s. It was a beautiful, beautiful piece of I don't know if you'd call it furniture or decor. It's an appliance, but it was big, it was heavy, it was intimidating as a young child. I remember her using the metal rod to lift up the burner to feed more into it, and watching the fire and the coals. It was quite amazing. She really was an amazing woman, and this recording actually is something I just, you know, I can't say enough about. I really want to, you know, encourage people. It's really made me want to make sure I'm going and I'm recording things for my family to hear, for my great-grandchildren. Maybe one day they'll stumble across these podcasts or other things that I've recorded. I want to go out and make sure I'm talking to my mother, especially since my dad passed away 5 years ago. I want to get the recollections of her life, get it recorded. I want to, you know, even my children now record some of their memories. I really see what a treasure this can be to somebody looking in the future that's looking to their past. I really encourage you to do this. It's, you know, family history is not just about the times, the dates, and the places where people lived. It's about their experiences. It's about their story. And I'm hoping that through the podcasts that I've done, I've told the stories of different people. And I've told the stories of different families and the communities they've lived in. And I'm hoping to continue that. And I'm looking to do this as I interview more guests in the future. But as I continue to have these reflections upon some of my own family and their family history. Like I said, I'm hoping to share some more of this audio because there's so much good stuff there. There's so much good stuff from home remedies in a coal mine town to just how she took care of some of her daily household tasks. It's just really good stuff. Again, not the stuff with those names and dates and places, but it's about the people, about the experiences, and about their lives. So I really want to just thank you for joining me today and this episode on this very personal journey as I examine my great-grandmother. I hope it gives you just a little bit of a appreciation for this type of thing and what a gift it can be. So this recording, like I said, it was recorded in 1977 in June, so almost 44 years ago. And it's really amazing. And like I said, it would have been 45 years ago, 46 years ago was the last time I had saw my great grandmother. So this really brought back memories, and it was surprising the voice owl, as soon as I heard it, I knew that it was her. I remembered it. I remember the way she spoke. I remember the way she would respond when you talked to her and you asked her questions. And I remembered how much she loved life and she loved her family, and how much she cared for myself and my brother and my mom and my grandfather. Just sort of what a wonderful lady she was. And this is to sort of dedicate this episode to everybody out there who has a great grandmother, mother, a great mother, a great grandfather, great great grandfather, somebody in their past has sort of laid the groundwork to the character that they are today. I got to listen to this, and her humility and her love that she had for her family is something that's been passed down from to me from her son, my grandfather, through my mom and through my dad. I know that she was a dear old lady that was loved by everybody, and I know she had faith, and she had some really, experiences in coming to a new country at a young age, living through the Depression, living through two world wars, having a son who went off to the world war, having her father and her brothers and her husband and some of her sons be coal miners, and just the day-to-day struggles she went through. Listening to this and knowing her, she was a very humble woman, and she doesn't talk a lot about the struggles, and she puts a bright face on them as she discusses them. And she ultimately, like I said, she got her wish. She died in her home, in her hometown. And I think Donkin really, truly was her home. Though she was a Scot, she was from Donkin, and that's where she loved, where she lived, and where she died. So thank you very much for listening today. I really appreciate you. Remember, keep searching for your ancestors, keep safe, and have a great week. Until next time.
Thank you for listening to this episode of How We Got Here. Make sure you check out the show notes for more information about today's topic and guests. How We Got Here is hosted and produced by Brian Nash. Title music from Tribute to O'Carolan by Luna Bajowski.